Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We're going to be chatting now with Dr. Mordechai Kedar, Israeli scholar of Arab culture and lecturer at Bar Ilan University. We're going to be chatting about Iran-US talks. Where does Iran and the US stand with war negotiations, and what do we know about the recent proposals? I think the US and Iran talks seem to be in a stalemate. They're ongoing, but they're not progressing, and there is a very, very fragile ceasefire. Tensions remain high across the region, and it's, you know, really balancing on an edge, and we would love to see some movement forward. Are we going to see that? Let us have your questions on 0618951019, and we'll put them to our guest. And good morning, Doctor. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It is my pleasure and my honor.
Our honor, Doc. And how is Israel this morning?
Pretty good. Weather is nice. And we are looking forward to see what happens in both arenas, in Lebanon.
Yes.
And in Iran, which are interconnected, as we all know. And we're waiting to see what direction the talks take. And alternatively, whether there will be hostilities between United States and Israel on one side and Iran on the other side, which will be supported by Hezbollah, as we suspect. Because it's an open front, as you might know. And yes, everybody is waiting for the decision of one person, who is the President Trump. Yep. Nobody really knows what he intends. Nobody really knows how he is going to continue this ongoing conflict. And all remember what will happen in November, his midterm elections, which he cannot allow himself to lose. Mm-hmm. Because if he loses, he becomes a lame duck. In, you know, if he doesn't have the majority in the Congress and or in the Senate. And but on the other side, he makes face as if he has all the time in the world, is actually what he wrote. On the other side, the Iranian side, they are professional poker players, and you can never understand their emotions from their faces. They are experts in hiding what they think under the disguise of the taqiyya, which is in Arabic and Persian as well, is to conceal your real feelings, your real intentions, in order to keep your head connected to your shoulders. And this is something which they developed through the generations, and now they play on it. Although they are in a dire situation, yet they make face as if they have all the time in the world. They don't care about damages, about people getting killed. They even have a substitute leader, a supreme leader, Mujtaba Khamenei, the son of. And they try to broadcast the message that everything is okay. We had a little damage here and there, but in principle, we are here. We are here to stay, and nobody will be able to kick us out from the government and from everything. Right. This is what they want to project, and they do. Whether people in the world buy it or not is a different question.
Is it also, to an extent, perhaps those in power are far less affected by the effects of the war, where, you know, they're with their wealth, how they live in their lifestyle and so on, and they're just knuckling down and sticking it out to stay in power for as long as possible?
Look, for the Iranian point of view, to remain in power is to be or not to be.
Yes.
For them, it's not a matter of price, it's a matter of principle. And because they know that if they are kicked out, they will be slaughtered by the people. Because so many people are waiting with knives in order to put an end to the connection between those mullahs, their heads and their shoulders, literally. and they know it very well, and they are struggling now mainly in order to keep this connection, you know, continued. And because they know the size of hatred within the majority of the population in Iran against them, and they and for them it's either us or you get killed. That's what they did in January, in December and January. Yes. They killed dozens of thousands of people who were running in the streets barefoot or bare hands, without any weapons, without any ability to sustain, and they just butchered them. So here you are. This is a cruel regime, which unfortunately, I think that South Africa more or less sides with this regime, in spite of its cruelty and I would say savagery as well. They think, means the mullahs think that they are directed by Allah, because they are people of religion. So since Allah keeps them from any mistake, they are infallible. And therefore, who they think that who are the American wine drinkers and the swine eaters to tell them, the believers, what to do and what not to do, especially in the nuclear fire.
Right.
So this is more or less how they look. They look at the Americans from high and above, and they despise the Americans because they see them as defiled people, impure, who keep defiling the lands of the Muslims. This is how they look at the Americans, let alone the Jews, what they think about them. So we are in a very, you know, problematic group of people who are more than sure that Allah is with them in spite of all the suffering, in spite of all the damages. They think, or they are more than sure, that this is what Allah wanted. Allah checks them, Allah puts them into some kind of an ordeal in order to make sure that they are loyal to Allah. They interpret everything which happens as some kind of a God's deed, and therefore this is how it should be. They are not affected by the hits and the damages as we are in the West, and because we have to give account to our politicians once in 4 years, but not in these countries. When Muslims have the majority in a place, they run it according to the Islamic Sharia, and the Sharia has no discussion there about human rights and political freedoms.
Right. Do you think, Doc, that the U.S. government, the negotiators, have a sense of this mindset and this view of the world? Because if you're coming from a position where you see that you are connected to God and that everything is a test and that you will get through it because you're not being given a test you can't overcome, you feel almost indestructible. And do the U.S. negotiators have an understanding of the mindset, and particularly for this region?
I think that recently they understand that these people are very hard to be convinced, means the Iranians, and they act only when they sense the blade of the guillotine cuts the curl behind their neck. This is how they act. As long as they don't feel that blade, they will not do what they are demanded to.
Okay. And how does the U.S. go forward in negotiations with when you're negotiating against a party like this?
Well, blowing up one bridge every day would hasten the negotiations.
Okay. So it's just going after the infrastructure. Is this really with a view that the public in Iran that are fed up, that will get to the point where there's almost another revolution? Is that something that the U.S. is potentially aiming for?
The only forces on the ground which have the ability to do something against the regime are the minorities. Means the Baluchis in the south, who are Sunna, not Shia. The Kurds in the northwest of the country, who are connected to the brethren in Iraq. By the way, the Baluch are connected to the brethren in Pakistan and Afghanistan. So they are armed, they are equipped, they are trained, and they can bring the change. The only thing is, will they have an aerial protection from mm-hmm. the air?
Right.
Either by the Americans or the Israelis or both. And this is essential, because otherwise they will be hit from the air by the regime. So right. if they have only the umbrella from above, they can do what everybody should do, kick out the regime from their places.
Okay. So it, ultimately it is relatively simple. It's about providing air support to the local troops on the ground who want to take back power and want to take control. Doc, if we look at where we are currently, who's holding the leverage right now in this this very, very tender ceasefire and within the talks? Is it Washington or is it Tehran?
Yeah, well, it's both. Mm. It reminds me of a joke.
Yes.
Somebody sits on the on the chair of a dentist, and all of a sudden the man takes out a knife and points into the belly of the dentist. And he says to the dentist, if you hurt me, I use the knife.
I hurt you.
So, yeah, be very careful not to hurt me, because I'm here with a knife.
Right.
Okay. So here's more of this situation here. You hurt me, I'll hurt you.
Okay. How do we move forward from this? Because I think the thing that's on every sane person's mind is the nuclear issue. You know, is are they looking at moving their refined uranium to Russia for storage? You know, how do we go forward in a world with no nuclear threat from Iran?
Well, so far the Iranians did not give up on their right, as they claim, to enrich uranium and even to acquire a nuclear weapon, because they say, hey, India has it, Pakistan has it, Israel, they are more than sure, has it. Many other countries, like the five permanent members in this Security Council, have it. And all kinds of rumors about North Korea has it. So aren't we allowed also to have it? What? Why shouldn't we exercise our rights just like the Indians and the North Koreans?
Right.
Why are they allowed and we are not? So this is more or less the question. They are offended by this demand, and they are not willing to abide to it.
And do you think also, obviously, can we trust what they say?
Never.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, if this is Quebec, they will tell you the truth. Let's say an Iranian will not tell you that today is Thursday, because today is Tuesday, and everybody knows, and everybody can verify what he says. So we'll say that today is Tuesday. But if you cannot verify what he says, in many cases he will lie if it serves his objectives.
And his purpose. Doctor, that was wonderful to chat with you. Thank you for that information and bringing us up to date. We're still in a stalemate. And we hope that things will be able to move forward, particularly from a nuclear point of view. That was Dr. Mordechai Kedar, Israeli scholar of Arab culture and a lecturer at Bar-Ilan University.